SBS Radio.
Undelivered Indigenous housing funding unlocked for remote Queensland and Torres Strait. 19 South Australia prison guards attempt to have a state coroner removed from an inquest into the death in custody of an Aboriginal man. And a prominent Queensland activist and a giant of Aboriginal rights movement, Sam Watson, has passed away on Wednesday. This is NITV Radio News and my name is Sharka Pechová. 19 South Australian prison guards attempt to have a state coroner removed from an inquest into the death in custody of an Aboriginal man, arguing that there is a risk of apprehended bias. The prison guards put forward a conflict of interest argument in the Supreme Court against Deputy Coroner Jayan Bashir. They were saying that she should be removed from the inquest because she once acted in a matter where the fees were paid for by the Correctional Office's Legals Fund. The coronial inquest into the 2016 death in custody of Kokata Virangu and Wiradjuri man Wayne Fela Morrison, 29, has already seen seven guards lose a bid in the South Australian coroner's court last December to avoid giving evidence when they claimed doing so could leave them liable to civil or disciplinary action. In addition to arguing in the Supreme Court on Tuesday that Ms. Bashir should be removed from the inquest, the prison guards have also challenged the inquest, arguing they should have a right to silence when asked to provide evidence that may implicate them in wrongdoing or negligence. Ms. Bashir and Coroner's Court opposed her removal. On September 23, 2016, Wayne Fela Morrison was restrained and placed face down by 14 correctional officers in a prison transport van. Mr. Morrison was unresponsive when he was later removed from the van. The incident was caught on CCTV at Adelaide's high-security Yatala Labour Prison. After failing to regain consciousness, Mr. Morrison died 3 days later in the Royal Adelaide Hospital. $105 million to address housing issues in remote Queensland and the Torres Strait will finally begin to flow to affected communities. After multiple flights from far northern Queensland and their island homes, members of the Torres Cape Indigenous Alliance have met with the Minister for Indigenous Australians, Mr. Ken Wyatt. Delays have been related to confusion over state and federal government responsibility and the pledge requiring co-investment, leaving vulnerable people to deal with overcoming in the meantime. Vonda Malone, chairwoman of the TCICA and mayor of the Torres Shire Council, said the minister has indicated the coalition will now honour their pledge. Ms. Malone told NITV.
Around late January 2020, we should see some of that dollars come through, initial $5 million, and then the continuation of how that will be administered, particularly in partnership with councils.
Traditional owners say their recognition as native title holders of Moritu Island of southeast Queensland means they can now use traditional fire management practices on their land, which was hit by bushfires last week. The formal recognition of the Kwandamuka people as traditional owners of the island follows a legal process first launched in 1995. In handing down a consent determination negotiated between the native title holders and all levels of government, Justice Daryl Cameron Rangia said it was a formal recognition of what the Kwandamuka people have always known. The orders grant native title over 98% of the Sand Island, also known as Mulgumpin, but have no impact on freehold land of the Tangaluma Resort leasehold. A prominent Queensland activist and a giant of Aboriginal rights movement, Sam Watson, has passed away on Wednesday. The Wanjiribura and Birriguba leader has died on Wednesday at the age of 67 after a short battle with illness. Sam Watson, an award-winning author, screenwriter and activist, was always on the front lines fighting for his people. From handing out the How to Vote cards on the day of the 1967 referendum to playing a crucial role in implementing the findings of the Royal Commission into Aboriginal deaths in custody, to most recently assisting families of the Stolen Generations connect via his role at LinkUp. Sam was always pushing to improve the lives of Aboriginal people. The impact of his work is far-reaching. He will be missed by his community, family and colleagues. Radio host Karen Durante met Sam Watson on several occasions, she told an ITV.
Got the opportunity to interview him and be with him, you know, at several events over my time working in the media, and, you know, he'll be sorely missed, definitely, yeah.
Save the Children is calling on Australia's state and federal attorneys general to heed overwhelming evidence and raise the minimum age of criminal responsibility in Australia from 10 to at least 14. The Council of Attorneys General will meet in Adelaide today and consider whether or not to raise the minimum age following a review ordered 12 months ago. Indigenous youth are the most affected by current laws Australia-wide. This Saturday, November 30th, Queensland Museum will open a new exhibition that's slated to change the way we view the Yidaki. Named Yidaki, Didgeridoo and the Sound of Australia, the exhibition is described as an immersive experience which not only allows you to look at various didgeridoos, but hear and feel the sound as well as be transported to Arnhem Land in the Northern Territory. Queensland Museum Network CEO Dr. Jim Thompson says the didgeridoo is thousands of years old and synonymous with the Aboriginal culture, and it's an honour to be able to share the story of Yidaki with the visitors.
The main thing is that there's 30 key objects in a great stringy bark forest setting that we've built within the museum, but it is an immersive experience. It's about sound, it's about story, it's about moving images, there's lots of digital presentation, it's about stories. So, you know, I guess that's really the key to it. This is a story, and it's a story that everyone in Australia should be aware of.
Northern Territory artists have presented their works at a Christmas market in Darwin yesterday. The Ironbark Aboriginal Corporation Community Development Program Christmas Market is a great opportunity for the artists and makers from around the Top End and Dahlia River region participating in the programs to exhibit their work. The Aboriginal Bush Traders Organization Manager Lila Dash explained.
And all these CDP programs have done an array of art projects. They're learning skills like metalworking, woodworking, fabrication. The CDP participants are essentially on a government scheme where you're receiving dole payments and you're actually learning skills at the same time. And so these people, we would say they are emerging artists. Some of them have got some real talent that we've seen, so we are helping develop them at Aboriginal Bush Traders to perhaps do some solo exhibition shows down the track.
Influential crossbench senator Jackie Lambie is remaining tight-lipped about a deal to scrap controversial medevac laws. Nine Newspapers is reporting her vote could be secured in return for accepting the New Zealand deal to resettle refugees in offshore detention. Senator Lambie has refused to publicly state what that condition is, citing national security concerns. She said she was in constructive talks with Prime Minister Scott Morrison and Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton. The New South Wales Rural Fire Service has put out a fresh warning for residents to prepare for fire ahead of a hot and windy weekend forecast. More than 150 bush and grass fires across New South Wales are uncontained, with more hot and windy weather forecast for the weekend. A Watch and Act has been issued for a bushfire in the Talagunda National Park, west of Braidwood in the state's southeast. Total fire bans are in place for Friday for the Monaro Alpine, Southern Ranges, Central Ranges, Northwestern and Southern Slopes fire regions. Crisis accommodation providers for women and children fleeing domestic violence will soon be able to apply for a share of $60 million in federal government grants. The total funding package is expected to benefit up to 6,500 women and children each year by helping organizations construct, repurpose, and renovate buildings. Included in the package is $18 million dedicated to improving safety when women choose to stay in their homes, which could be used for upgrades including locks or more secure shutters. The first accommodation funded by the scheme is not expected to open until early 2022. Anyone wanting information or support relating to domestic violence can contact 1-800-RESPECT on 1-800-737-732. At least 33 people have died in a measles outbreak that has forced Samoa to call a state of emergency. Fiji and Tonga have also been hit by the outbreak, but Samoa has been the worst affected due to its low vaccination rates. Australia's Department of Foreign Affairs has deployed an emergency medical team to provide assistance to the Pacific nation's healthcare staff. Australian Medical Assistance Team's mission leader, Dr. Mark Little, says the emergency is nothing like he's ever experienced.
I've actually been involved in 7 AusMet deployments to countries such as Pakistan, Bangladesh, the Philippines. I've never seen anything like this. This is truly an extraordinary crisis, and I've never seen a health system that's just been so overwhelmed, and this is a slow burn. This is going on for weeks.
It's time for sports. To cricket, and Australian captain Tim Payne insists the team is ready to deal with the Pakistan paceman Mohammad Abbas. Abbas is extremely effective against Australia's battling lineup in the United Arab Emirates last year and is expected to play today's second test at the Adelaide Oval. The pink ball that will be used during the test is likely to assist the 29-year-old's bowling efforts. But Payne says the side is as prepared as it can be to face him.
We've got a different side that played against him before. But yeah, we certainly know what he does. We know he's an exceptional bowler. His record would suggest that. So we've spoken about him. We've spoken about the whole team. We think they showed enough in patches in Brisbane to know that they're a dangerous side. And if we're not right on top of our game, Abbas and the rest of their attack all look like they can create your problems.
The seamer looks likely to come into the team at the expense of Imran Khan, while Australia goes into the match unchanged after a victory in the first test. Let's have a look at the weather now. Perth can expect a sunny day with a tops of 29. In Adelaide, there will be afternoon rain with a tops of 22. Melbourne, late showers and tops of 22. Hobart, showers will be increasing during the day, tops of 18. Albury-Wodonga, partly cloudy with the tops of 35. Canberra, partly cloudy and 34. Sydney, cloudy with tops of 29. Brisbane, cloud clearing and 31. Townsville, partly cloudy with the tops of 32. Cairns, partly cloudy with 32. Darwin, possible shower or storm with the tops of 34. And Alice Springs will have a mostly sunny weather with the tops of 38.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.